Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's my house.
It's my house on Kaya Biz.
All right, it's my house. It's time for us to take a closer perspective on housing in South Africa. Over the past 15 years, Lightstone has been a player in this space and has gathered an enormous amount of granular detail about the housing market. I think one of the things that we kind of make a mistake of doing is either attaching our perspective on the housing market too closely to the interest rate cycle, or whenever our affordability tends to pop up in terms of being able to buy a house or sell a house or rent a house, or we are narrowly whiplashed by exorbitant increases. And so Hayley will hopefully be able to give us some perspective on exactly how to approach that. Hayley, welcome to Kaya Biz. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Likewise. Okay, first of all, just give me your high-level perspective. You've been operating as Lighthouse over the past 15 years. Congratulations on that, by the way. And what would you say are the three biggest takeaways over the past 3 years before we dig deeper into the excellent insight that you've got here?
So it's been really an interesting last 15 years. I think the biggest takeout for us was the impact of COVID. And how that actually changed the property market. We saw a lot of movement of people being able to basically live where they wanted to live and work from home. So there was a big change in the property market on that aspect. We obviously saw an increase. The second element for me was an increase in the Western Cape. So we saw a big jump up into what we call semigration into the Western Cape. And then I think thirdly, we kind of saw a tapering down of first-time home buyers and kind of younger people buying properties, which kind of tapered off through the 15 years, which was interesting. And it also just speaks to possibly cost, life stage, lifestyle, rental, and various components.
Okay. So let's kick off with, for example, COVID. Did it massively dislocate the anticipated sort of ongoing increase in house prices, or have we recovered pretty fully?
So it was really interesting. So pre-COVID 2019, the property market was pretty stagnant. It was kind of going on a single kind of trajectory. There wasn't any great movement. COVID hit 2020 and we saw immediately a slowdown in the 2020. But what really happened was we saw an ignition in the property market that has been really the most active property market that we've seen in the 15 years. So 2021, 2022 was a really active property market, really great market to be in if you were selling a property specifically. There were lots of buyers. We kind of saw numbers jumping up that we hadn't seen for a while. If we just took an example, you know, we looked at 2022, we had 348,000 properties transfer compared to 2009 or 300,000. So almost 50,000 more. And then you do a comparison to 2023 last year, and it was 280.
Yeah, that's
so almost 60,000 less, you know. Mm. So we did see a huge impact from COVID on the property market, and in a different way than we anticipated. We actually thought it would be negative. It ended up being really positive.
So I will say this, Hayley. One of the things that surprised me about your data, so I see those volumes are huge, but what I was surprised by in the years from 2009 to 2024 June is the very gentle increase in the average price of houses. Listen, I'm from the Western Cape. It certainly does not feel that way. But I also know that that's an outlier in the South African market. Talk to me about why it is. Is that, you know, growing new neighborhoods potentially? Because surely people are getting capital gains.
So the value of having a property is, you know, they always used to say it's a long-term investment. And in actual fact, we haven't seen the returns on property that I think people would like to have seen.
Interesting.
And that's why you're seeing the kind of the average current value to be quite relatively the same for many years.
For our listeners, sorry, just around, so apologies, Hayley, I should have said this before. From 2009 at 1.15 million rand to 2024 at 1.43 million rand. So I would have expected that to have at least doubled in 15 years for some reason.
Well, that's 28%, right? So that's a 15-year average that you're talking around.
Correct.
That was essentially the average that kind of increased 28%. So if, for example, you sold a house in 2009 at 720,000, it would be worth 1.5 million now. That's 15 years, though. That, you know, if you break it down, you know, 28 into 15, that's like 2% growth a year.
That's my issue.
That's not, that's not a big growth. So, you know, I just think from a property perspective, when you are choosing property as an investment, I think it becomes really important, number one, for location.
Yes.
Number two is if you're buying off plan, you then obviously don't pay transfer fees.
Yes.
Which obviously helps in a big way in terms of the value of the property, that you can then realize more profit or increase in the value selling it further down the line. So I think property investment is a savvy, it's a savvy element to consider. It's not a quick way to gain an increase in your revenue and your income. So just to be mindful of that.
Yeah, it's not a flip thing. You know, people I think are still in that early 2000s, late 90s concept of flipping, and it doesn't seem to be happening. However, just if I may ask, it seems to me, and again, I come from a province with a lot of off-plan developments. I feel as though they are pricing that no property duty into the actual cost of the space, and are pricing at significant premium that to me don't seem like I'm going to get much gain. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like, oh, come get this house for a bargain because it's off plan. It's almost as though off plan has joined the standing building market in terms of pricing. What is that a fair assessment?
It probably depends on each development, but definitely within what you are saying, I think what's also happening is when you're buying within a complex in this kind of current market, you're basically buying into a lifestyle. You have generally a restaurant, you have a gym, you have everything within the complex, and then you're also getting a unit with appliances that's already got solar, that's already got fiber. You know, there's so many elements that are already built in that if you had to buy a normal development or offer normal development that would not include that, it's probably a factor just to consider when you're looking at the different developments.
Okay, so that's the next section that I actually wanted us to discuss is this estate buying and the types of properties South Africans are buying. In addition to everything that you just mentioned is safety. You know, in terms of gated estates or, as you say, a lock-up and go apartment construct. Let's talk a little bit about how that trend has developed over the last 15 years.
So we've definitely seen a move, obviously, towards gated communities. I think it's a lifestyle that obviously appeals to a lot more people and that we can understand why. So we can see basically that freehold, what we call freehold type properties, has kind of decreased in terms of the number of the sales that have happened. 2009, it was sitting at 66% of properties that sold were freehold. It's now 56%. And then if we look at estates, it's gone up from 11% in 2009 to 15. And then sectional titles gone up from 22% to 30%. So your gated community is really making up 45% of sales happening within the property market at the moment, which is really interesting. So that's definitely a drive to where people want to live.
And who tell me if your data can give us a little bit of insight to this, because is it people not necessarily downsizing, but moving from freehold into, or is this also a favorite for first time buyers? And then I want to talk about the trends of first time buyers.
Yeah, definitely. So sectional title, we definitely see is kind of more leaning towards your first time home buyer, and also those that are downscaling. So I think it depends on the life stage that you're in, for the type of property that you're wanting to buy into. And that's obviously going to influence this as well. And then obviously estate living is, you know, something that many kind of want to get into as well. It's the security of a lifestyle with, once again, everything within that estate, a restaurant, walking trails, cycling trails, whatever that you kind of wanting, but to feel secure.
Yeah. And to your point about life stages, you know, empty nesters, retirees, the simple life also helps. A very, very interesting trend I was very curious about, because, and I'm so glad that it's covered as township data. It so often gets excluded. Some recent township data revealing that over 2,000 property transactions took place worth over 1.1 billion in Soweto in the past year alone. I think there's a prevailing understanding or a prevailing belief that almost all property movement is happening out of the township and into more urban spaces or suburban spaces. And would you say that your data reflects that exceptional turnover that we saw out of Soweto?
Definitely. So we include all properties that are legally registered with the deeds. So we obviously see all of the transactions that are happening within Soweto, and we saw it specifically in the Deep Kloof and a couple of Meadowland areas that we kind of saw a spike in purchasing and also the value of properties going up. And in actual fact, the biggest churn, so the biggest number of transactions within property is under R1 million. So it's definitely the most active part of the property market, and it's where we see the most kind of transactions happening.
Okay, so Deep Kloof remains the la-di-da area, even from my childhood. Okay, that's great to see. And I'm curious. I mean, one of the things that I was curious about is in townships in particular, it doesn't cost any less to develop a home into a really beautiful estate or home. And yet, you know, you're speaking to me about the great areas of Soweto still attracting less than $1 million in terms of purchase price or sale price. Will there ever be a re-rating, you know, given the fact that the demand is there, for a person to actually get a return that is commensurate to how much they've invested in developing this property or improving this property, like other neighborhoods?
So, I think value of property is always determined by demand and what the market feels is worth. So essentially, you know, Soweto, you're speaking about $1 million, but there's certainly properties in Soweto that are over $2 million or over $3 million.
Sure.
So you do get areas where properties are valued higher. You know, if you're looking at kind of the general, it's probably kind of $1 million, and kind of in those areas between 600,000 and 1.5 million. Okay. So, you know, I think it does vary. And, you know, once again, it's based on what market is willing to pay for the property. So, you know, and it's all dependent also on comparables on the area around the property. And, you know, so that becomes all kind of part of the factors.
Like you said, location. All right. So one of the things that I find also very interesting about being a millennial is I think millennials and Gen Z are the first generations that are objectively less wealthy than the previous generation. And the first time buyer age that your report is showing is shocking to me. First time buyers are on average 36 years old at this particular time. And where is that moving from historically?
So historically, kind of younger 30s, you know, late 20s, early 30s, that has definitely moved out over the years that we've seen to be kind of at a 36. And I think it really just speaks to, for me, affordability and also kind of life stage and lifestyle in terms of what, you know, whether you want to be mobile, if you're wanting to rent in a certain place for a while, rent in another place for a certain while, you don't really want to put roots down yet. It's also kind of, you know, the sense on that for me, but also very much driven by affordability. I think, you know, it's becomes a lot more expensive to purchase a property.
And to the extent, you know, that earlier on you were highlighting that the last 15 years don't present up a property as that excellent an investment as it is purported to be, or as it historically has been. This doesn't seem to have been a very bad choice. I mean, if let's say you're invested in a nice REIT, but are happy to take on rental property, for example. Is there a growing belief that property ownership is not the be all and end all of your asset portfolio, which our parents used to believe?
Yes, definitely. I think outlook on life is definitely changing. But I think, you know, Just to be mindful that if you're renting, you are obviously paying off somebody else's bond. So I think it becomes important to understand how long you're going to be somewhere and whether it's worthwhile having your own property, whether you can make a little bit of money off it at the end of the day, versus basically putting that money into somebody else's.
All right. There is the alternative that maintenance is not your issue either. But I hear you. I hear you. I mean, I definitely took the view when I moved back to South Africa, I took the view that I'd rather pay attention to property markets. It was a lifestyle thing. I'd like to be able to, I think in the movie Heat, if you can leave everything behind within 30 seconds, I'd like to be able to pack up at any time. And work was structured that way across the continent, or, you know, across the world. And it really didn't seem, it didn't seem logical to me. But now when I look at the Western Cape, it feels as though, it's difficult to get on the first rung of the ladder. Hayley, do you have a view?
Absolutely.
And you push back if you'd like, but do you have a view on rental constructs like Airbnb and their impact on housing prices? Obviously, the Western Cape is idiosyncratic insofar as it's got a huge swallow market, and that's people who spend 6 months of their lives, for the listener's perspective, benefit 6 months of their lives in Europe and basically enjoy summer all year round, and then 6 months of their life in South Africa. So you've got a lot of beautiful property bought in euros and dollars that stands empty, and or South Africans who, I believe some South Africans own up to 150 properties, for example, around the country that they rent out on Airbnb. I asked this question in the context of cities like Barcelona, and I think Canada, putting a moratorium either on foreign ownership of housing or a moratorium on Airbnb licensing in order to allow houses to be affordable for the local population. I know I'm taking you out of your wheelhouse, but what do you think about the disconnects in the market that are caused by businesses like this?
Well, essentially, I think if you look at a property that's being used for Airbnb, you've essentially got revenue coming into that property. So if you are, it's essentially a business. So if you are looking at selling the property, you are then going to be able to say this property actually attracts a certain amount of revenue and therefore should be worth more. So I think from that aspect, that definitely needs to be considered. I think from a market perspective, I mean, once again, it'll be determined by what market feels is worth the price of the property. But, you know, once again, if the property is a business like an Airbnb, there's revenue attached to it. So you can generate more revenue through that property than just living in it.
And is it possible that there's a bubble here? So the Airbnb is not a new thing. If you remember, because you've been around this since then, around the time of the World Cup, a lot of people were getting investment properties as well, in anticipation of all the spectators that would come from around the world. And a lot of them were stuck with the stock, almost like the white elephant of the stadiums themselves. Do you think there's a risk of a bubble here?
Absolutely. No, I think that if basically you buy a property for Airbnb purposes and it doesn't work out, you're still going to sell the property for hopefully some little bit more of a profit. You won't necessarily be able to sell it as a business because you're not earning additional revenue, but that doesn't mean you're going to lose on the property. So, you know, I don't think that would be the case unless you bought it in a location where there's absolutely no demand. Then you've got a real problem.
Understood. Really, really insightful discussion here, and thank you so much for this exceptional report, Hayley. It's been very interesting on a personal basis, but also from a business perspective for our listeners, I'm sure. Hayley Ivins-Downs is the managing executive for real estate at Lightstone. They've been in this game the entirety of the data set that we've been discussing today, which is 15 years. Congratulations on that incredible feat in real estate, in particular. Working through cycles, be it the great financial crisis, the World Cup, Airbnb, and all else. Check out their wonderful insights if you'd like to, and see how this may impact your participation in the real estate market. Thank you, Hayley.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.